Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 John, book of 2 John. There's only one chapter. So, Brother Wiley, you don't have to worry about which chapter. But 2 John, we're going to read the first six verses together. I want you to keep your Bible open. We're going to use it a little bit tonight. I want to talk to you about a very different kind of subject. It's in reference to love, but as we get into it, it'll make a little bit more sense to you. 2 John, let's read the first six verses. You follow along silently. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Now, tonight, we humans define love generally based on emotion, or how we're being treated by somebody, how we feel about something. But God defines the word love much differently than we humans do. Man doesn't usually put the word rules with love, but God does. God says that love and rules go together. Now, tonight I want to show you what God says about this. I'm not going to take time to turn there, but in Genesis chapter 2, we have God who has created the earth. He's created everything in it. He's created man, seen that everything is good. And he said, man, there's only one rule. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only rule on the whole face of the earth. I want you to notice something. He had total dominion, domination of the whole world. As all he had to do is abide by one rule. Now watch this. Man only had that one rule, but we don't know how long it was between creation and the fall of man. Personally, I believe it was many, many, many years, probably, my opinion, probably in a neighborhood of 40, 50 years. I don't know. I do know this, all of the original plan for man categorizing all the plants or the animals and naming them. And of course, you can name all of them you want, but you're going to have a picture of them. And they didn't have cell phones to take selfies with them. So he had to draw a picture of each one, name it, that type of thing. Those all had to be done. It took a long time. And the Bible says in the midst of all that, or at the end of that, God created Eve. All right. I don't believe she was there for the very beginning part of it. Wasn't Adam there working for a week and God saying, okay, now you need something. I believe it took a period of time. All right. Now, how long that period of time is, God didn't tell us. We'll find out in eternity. It doesn't matter if it was a week, a month, a year, 10 years, or 100 years. But there was a period of time there. And now, I say that to say this. The command was given to whom?
Adam.
Did you ever wonder why man was credited with the sin when Eve partook of the fruit first? Because the command was given to Adam, not to Eve. She was not supposed to do it when she was made either, but God was the one that commanded Adam, and Adam was to teach her what not to do. There was only one rule. Now, watch this. Satan's main goal when he entered the picture was to hurt God by separating man from God. Satan really didn't care what happened to man. He just didn't want God to be satisfied with man. He didn't want God's love to be satisfied with man. Therefore, Satan needed man to do what man wanted to do over what God wanted done. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Satan just needed man not to do what God wanted.
Right.
Well, there was only one rule that could be broken. There was only one law that could be broken. And that one law was, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan knew that God loved man. Satan wanted to hurt God by attacking his love. He wanted to remove the object of God's love so that God could not be loved back as he deserved. The only way to do this was to get man to break the one rule on the earth. That was it. Now, sin immediately caused a separation between God and man. Sin creates separation. Sin creates a separation here on earth. If you're living right, you're somebody that you love is sinning, it creates a separation. They run, they hide, they cover things up. There's always some type of separation there. This separation comes because man disobeyed God's one rule. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. But Satan said, the day thou eatest, you can be like God. You can decide good and evil for yourself. You can decide what's right. You can decide what's wrong. You don't need God telling you what to do. Man has struggled ever since because of this sin. By the way, you say, how do you know that? We won't take time to turn there, but if you went to Genesis chapter 4, you read the story of a man named Cain, Adam's son. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. He was supposed to bring a blood sacrifice. Cain did not do what God said. He was a sinner like the rest of us, but God required a blood sacrifice, not a plant sacrifice. And matter of fact, Cain brought it with a bad attitude, and God said, Cain, I don't have respect unto your sacrifice, nor do I have respect for you, but I'll make a sacrifice available if you'll just receive it. And Cain said, I don't want it. If you don't want what I have, too bad. That's why when you go to the book of Jude, I believe it is around verse 14 or so. I don't remember exactly. Jude 11, I'm sorry. It says, thou hast gone in the way of Cain. Man's religion has gone in the way of Cain. God, I'll say the Our Fathers. I'll say the Hail Marys. Sorry, couldn't think of it. I knew it was some kind of pass, but I couldn't remember what it was. We'll keep the sacraments. We'll go to church. I'll live a certain lifestyle. I'll lay down and flip and flop on the floor and have some kind of holy fit and holy cow and everything else and speak in some jibber jabber, and I can have an experience and I will be spiritual then. But God doesn't say that's how you get spiritual. God says there's only one way to get saved. There is only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We don't get saved by our righteousness, but his righteousness.
That's right.
You see, all those things are a matter of us doing what God says because man broke one law. Now, watch this. God tells us here in 2 John verse number 6, that love, look at it with me, and this is love, comma. In other words, what comes after the comma defines what love is. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments, period. God says that love is walking after or keeping his commandments. The word commandment, interesting word. It is a rule or a law given by a superior. Boys and girls, that means this. If mom and dad tell you to do something, that is a command. Period. End of discussion.
Yes, sir.
There are more commands in the Bible than 10, just so you know. There are far more commands than that. Those were 10 that were given to the Jewish people in the wilderness, so that they had some semblance of government to govern themselves as they went through the wilderness till they got to the promised land. That's when those came about. Do you realize there was well over 2,500 years of history before then? Now, not only are we to walk in his commandments, but we're to walk in the commandments. Notice this. I love this verse. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Watch this. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard it from the when?
Beginning.
You should walk in it. There's a, that means this. You're supposed to obey it as God first gave it, in the beginning. Not as we culturally rewrite it. I would use the term original intent. Now, we need to not rewrite the Bible. We don't need to reword the commandments. We need to obey them as God gave them in the original version and in the original sense. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to use a big fancy word here. You're going to be impressed. That gets rid of all dispensationalism. Okay, you say, what in the world is dispensationalism? Dispensationalism means in different parts of history, there were different things that God required of people. Some, there are some that believe there are at least 5 different ways to get saved.
Nope.
That's called hyper-dispensationalism. I call it super stupid dispensationalism.
That's good.
All right? But there weren't different generations. People didn't get saved one way prior to the flood. People didn't get saved another way after the flood. People didn't get saved another way between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
You're right.
People didn't get saved another way during the time of Jesus. And they didn't get saved another way after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And some are even stupid enough to think that people didn't get saved in 3 days and 3 nights he was in the grave. That's why, and everybody look at me for a second. That's why I don't go for this term, Old Testament law, New Testament grace. That's a bunch of dispensationalism.
Yes, sir.
By faith, Adam. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. They were all saved by how?
Faith.
By faith, grace through faith. Everybody got saved the same way.
Amen.
Well, what's the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament? When it was written? That's it. That is the only difference. Now, that's why things in the Old Testament are still applicable today. People who want to rewrite the commands of God say, well, Deuteronomy 22:5, that's Old Testament. Men and women can dress however they want these days because we're now under grace. We're not under the law. All right, that's a bunch of baloney. Did you know the New Testament doesn't say thou shalt not kill? Does that mean it's okay for us to go out and kill somebody? Everybody doing all right? Why is it that man picks and chooses what he wants from the Old Testament? And what he doesn't want, he wants to say, well, that's not what God meant for us to have now. It's New Testament. This is grace. It's not law. That means God has more things for us, not less. Now, by the way, this is why liberals want to break down and change the Constitution of the United States of America. We don't believe our forefathers really understood enough to be able to govern and give us a structure by which, that's why they try to tear down the Constitution of the United States. Well, they couldn't possibly have known where we would be today, and that doesn't mean the same today as it did back then. Can I tell you something? That's what liberals do. By the way, liberal preachers, liberal politicians, liberal anybody. They want to break down right and wrong. Period. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. God tells, by the way, that's why they'll fight a judge for the Supreme Court that believes in right and wrong. Everybody was appalled. The first 15 minutes Mr. Gorsuch was on the bench, he was asking questions. Yep. Well, he's not supposed to do that. He's the most junior person on the court. He's on the United States Supreme Court. He's earned the right to do it, and I'm glad he's got enough guts to get up there and start asking questions about things. About time we put things straight. Doesn't matter how long you've been there. If you're qualified, you're qualified. Amen. You don't have to be in the good old boys club before you start.
That's right.
Boy, I like that. God tells us that love and rules go together. We prove our love by obeying and separating, and disobedience separates us from his love. By the way, God doesn't pull away from us. We pull away from him. Do you ever notice sin didn't pull God away from man? It pulled man away from God.
That's right.
If you go back to Genesis 3 when man sinned, God came to the garden as he did every day and said, Adam, where are you? Man didn't show up to the garden and say, God, where'd you go? God was there. Adam was the one hiding. If you have two children and one does something wrong and goes and runs and hides, guess which one's guilty? If two kids are playing and it goes, something breaks, one's still sitting in the room and the other one ran away, I give you a pretty good idea who did it. I may not be wrong, but 99% of the time I would be. Say, why? Because the one that did it wants to run and hide. Sin causes man to run away. Sin causes man to separate from love. Now, I'm going to give you... Good night. Was that your stomach, Brother Joe? That thing was loud. I better not say what I was just thinking there. I'm just going to go forward. Number one, love equals commandments to God. Love equals commandments to God. 2 John 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. God says that love equals commandments. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, my soul. I'm going to try to hurry tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's look at verse number 5. Now the end of the commandment, the end of the commandment is, what's the next word? Charity or
love.
Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Notice, the end of the commandment is love. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read several verses here. We're going to start in verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3. And hereby do we know that we know him, if we what?
Keep
his commandments. He saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. God says that love and commandments go together. Now, God gave us rules out of love, not out of punishment. Can I tell you something? People who make rules generally do it to protect someone, not to get somebody in trouble.
Amen.
Rules are not punishment. Rules are because you're not mature enough, not wise enough, not charactered enough to obey without a rule. If they took down all the speed limits all over the country, how bad would it be? You've never driven until you've driven in Mexico. Amen, Brother Stoltz? Yeah. I took my mom and dad across Tijuana one time. It's the only time in my life I've ever heard my father say, "Son, I am so glad you're driving right now and not me." 6 lanes of traffic in 4 lanes. And people going the wrong way right next to you in a lane that's supposed to be going that way, they're going this way. There are virtually no traffic laws in Mexico in places. You do what you want. Boy, is it a mess. You can literally roll your window down and touch the car on either side of you. People shaking hands as they're going down, driving down the road. I'm not lying. You say, what is it? It's called total chaos. I don't know if they have traffic laws that people actually get pulled over by the policia. But I'm telling you this, I don't know how they could enforce it. Because nobody keeps the rules. Literally, the law in Mexico, and this was many years ago, but when I was in inner part of Mexico, the law was whoever gets just past the center of the intersection first has the right of way. That's what it is. And you wonder why everybody's cars are all smashed up down there, because they're racing to get to the middle first. Head-on crashes like you wouldn't believe. It's amazing what happens because there's no laws. Now, the more we disobey, the more rules need added to our lives. Before there was sin, how many laws were there? Before man sinned, how many laws were there?
One.
One. Uno. That's it. After man sinned, God had to keep adding laws because of our disobedience. I've been a principal in Christian schools 2 or 3 different times in my life. Help administrate Bible colleges. I've been in part of writing and enforcing rules for a long time. Can I tell you something? Why rules have to constantly change? Because people are constantly finding ways to break them. People are constantly finding ways to break them. I used to have to enforce dress code issues. Of course, somebody's got to be the mean old guy at the top that makes everybody do what they're supposed to do. My favorite statement to the young people were this. If you'd look at yourself before you leave the house, you would not get demerits. Not my fault, but because you won't look at it and because you won't follow it, I have to enforce it. It's not my fault. I didn't come to your house, pick out that outfit, and tell you you had to put that on. Everybody see where I'm coming from? And yet, I was always the bad guy because they got the demerits. Well, the parents had the handbook. The students had the handbook. And neither one of them checked before they left the house. Whose fault's that? Mine? No, because they didn't check themselves, they got the demerits. Say why? Because that's what the rule was for, because God knew man would not enforce it on himself naturally. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Period. Same is true. Oh, I got so many things. I can just go forward here. Man doesn't want rules because man wants to be his own God and decide the rules himself.
That's right.
Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, not a blood sacrifice. Thou hast gone in the way of Cain. Say, what is that? Man choosing what man wanted to do over what God said do. So God had to keep adding rules as man kept breaking rules. Everybody understand that? A child, as you're rearing your children, as they start breaking rules, you have to start increasing the number of rules they have in their life. It's natural. A 2-year-old doesn't need the rules that a 12-year-old needs. And a 16-year-old needs more rules than a 12-year-old. And may I say this, a 50-year-old needs more rules than a 16-year-old. Because I have far more things I do in life than... Yeah, thought you were going to get out of that one, didn't you, Leanne? Oh, that was Hmong. Couldn't see Brother Evan's heads in the way of that one. But you got to realize, the older you get, the more rules there are. You know, a 16-year-old doesn't have to follow the IRS rules, or a 15-year-old. But I do. Somebody that's not driving doesn't have to obey all the speed limits and stuff. You do as you drive. So the older you get, the more rules you have. And the more rules you have, the higher up you go in work and different things, the more rules you have to follow. It's natural. The older you get and the more you do, the more rules you have. It doesn't get easier once you graduate from high school. Everybody thinks they got the world by the tail and find out that tail's got teeth in it and it bites real hard. So, love, first of all, equals commandments to God. Number two, love is not just knowing or having rules, it's keeping or obeying those rules. Love isn't just knowing the rules, it's obeying the rules. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 3. Just a page or so back from where you are there. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse number 18. I love this verse. I almost taught a whole Wednesday night Bible study on this, but I decided not to. Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. But watch this. But in deed and truth. God says, just because you tell me you love me, just because you think you love me, doesn't mean you love me. You don't love me till you do it in deed, which is action, and truth, according to the right rules. God says you love me not just because you think you know that you love me, not because you say you love me, but you love me when you obey me in deed and truth. Please don't get mad at me for this, but you go talk to... You go talk to Billy Graham or Franklin Graham. They'll tell you, oh, we love Jesus. We love God. But they don't use the King James Bible. They don't love him in truth. They don't go soul winning. They doing okay? Now, they talk a good talk and they sound real suave. There was a day when Billy Graham did believe right. But Billy Graham wanted to be famous rather than right and hung up truth for fame. When he started his citywide crusades and started yoking up with the Catholics and the Pentecostals and the Episcopalians and the Anglicans and letting them do all the follow-up of all the people that raised their hand, I got a problem with that. People that walk the aisle and get saved at our church, I don't take their names and addresses over to the local Catholic church and say, here, follow up on them. That's what Billy Graham was doing. I got a problem with that.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? Now, they say they love God in word, and they say they love God with their lips, and they say they love him with their tongue. They even tell people, I love God, I love God, I love God. But in deed and in truth, they do not love him.
Right.
God says, I don't care how much you tell me, I want to see it in action. I don't care how much you think it, I want to see it in truth and in action. Now, God says by deed and truth is how we love him. Love is expressed by action based on truth, not by thoughts or emotions or feelings. I don't care how warm and squishy you feel, are you obeying him? I love my wife, but if all I do is think I love, and if all I ever do is say it, but I never do anything for her, I don't follow the bounds of marriage to prove it, what good is me thinking it or saying it? It's that simple. Well, I said it once, that was enough. No, God says indeed and in truth. All right? By the way, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Welfare is not love.
Amen. Amen.
It is emotion not based on truth. Liberals will get you to say, well, we've got to take care of the poor. We've got to take care of the less fortunate. It's our responsibility. Did you ever notice welfare is neither well nor fair? It was started in the 1930s by FDR. Just so you know. First premise of socialism to keep people dependent on the government. Your highest welfare cities in America are run by the most liberal politicians the world has. And they're still in poverty. Did you ever notice nobody ever gets off? You have fifth and sixth generation or more welfare people. And they reward not working. I'm not angry. By the way, we have churches that have welfare Christianity. We'll do it all for you. Just show up and you can feel like you did everything. Burger King Christianity, have it your way, amen. Love is not based on a name or on blood or on position. Love is based on truth, the Bible, and deed, which is action. I've said this before. I love my children. I had one here last week. I love my children. But if my children aren't obeying God, doesn't mean I'm going to quit obeying God. Just because my son came to visit us for a week, Brother Stoltz, doesn't mean I didn't show up and go to church. I was supposed to love God more than I love my son. Now, I can love my son and love God at the same time. I can love my mom and dad and love God at the same time. My dad got his first turkey ever this week. Not one of his children either. It was a 20-pounder, but I got to be with him when he got his first turkey. Only took him 78 years to get one, Brother June. He said, I hope it doesn't take that long to get the next one. I said, well, you're going hunting with somebody else if it does, because I'm not going to be here. Good night. You'd be half as old as Noah was. But can I tell you something? I enjoyed being with him, but we didn't skip church to do it. I didn't stop serving God to do it. See, it's not a matter of stopping serving God because, well, somebody has the same last name or has the same bloodline as I have. So, I'm supposed to obey in deed and in truth. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Man seems content with knowledge only. God wants action or the knowledge is worthless.
That's right.
Brother Stoltz, I said this today at that one door. I said, knowledge that's not usable is worthless. We have churches that are filled full of pastors who are filling people's heads with knowledge that nobody knows how to use. They have their pretty outlines and they have their Bible study guides and they have their little screens and follow the bouncing ball and fill in the blanks and all their pretty outlines that all the points rhyme and they have all their wonderful little tricks of the trade that they do. And we've turned the average church service into a quote unquote college seminary classroom. And we think we're spiritual because we're learning facts, but nobody's going out telling anybody else about Jesus. We'll cancel Sunday school to have breakfast on Easter because that's a good way to get the visitors into church. We want to have breakfast over teaching the Word of God. I hate to tell you something, folks. We're not going to cancel Sunday school to have breakfast.
Amen.
If you can't eat and teach the Bible, throw the food out and let's teach the Bible.
Amen.
I think we can do both.
Amen.
When we have our own building. once we get there, we're not going to cancel Sunday school. Say why? Because the teaching of the Word of God is far more important than gathering around a stupid buffet.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. The more knowledge we get, the less obedience-minded we become. Do you ever notice the more intellectual somebody gets, the more above the law and the rules they think they are? You take somebody who goes to college. They come back. They think they know it all. I just laugh at them. I do. Thinking, yeah, you think you know it all. Some of you men know what I'm talking about. You get the guy right out of engineering school, and he knows how to do it better than you, and you've been doing it for 30 years. Well, I read this in a book somewhere. Yeah, he's never seen the part on a machine, but he knows how to do it better than anybody else because he read it in a book. You get the guys that come out of military officers training, OTC. They think they know how to run troops and they never even shot a gun. at a real human being before. They think they know how to run the army. Let's get a George Patton out there. He might not use all the right words, but promise you one thing, he's going to take ground and win.
Amen.
If I had to take my chance between a pretty boy that got straight A's or George Patton, I'm following Patton.
Amen.
Say why? Because that man already proved it on the battlefield.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? The more knowledge only we get, the less obedience-minded we become. I'm going to read my notes here. Aren't you proud of me? The more intellectually driven a church gets, the less biblically obedient they become. I'm going to say that again. The more intellectually driven a church gets, the less biblically obedient they become. This is where they get into this dispensationalism. This is where they get into their expository teaching. Ebony, can you shut that door for me? Thank you. I don't want to bother them. They don't bother me, but I don't want to bother them. They can't handle what I'm about to say. This is where they get into the new methods. Well, we can have our new music. We can have contemporary Christian music, or we can have rock music and the stages and all the flashing lights, and we can have a rock show, and we can have new, we can gather more people for Jesus that way. Puke. This is where they get into their, well, you are to disciple everybody. Everybody's to be a discipler. I find nowhere in Scripture where it says everybody is to be a disciple. I find in Scripture where it says every person is supposed to grow in grace. Disciples are full-time servants. I heard some yard bird on the Christian radio the other day. I was going from point A to point B and had that stupid thing on. And the guy said, yeah, after Easter, he said, I had somebody hand me a whole stack of contacts and said, here you go, preacher. You can follow up on these. And I threw them back in their face and said, it's your job to disciple them, not just my job. Man, I'm glad I don't have that dude. Give me all the contacts you got. I'll follow up on them all. It's going to take more than you, and it's going to take more than me to disciple them. It takes the whole program. It takes God. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. This is the more intellectually driven a church gets, the less biblically obedient they become. They stop running buses, they stop going soul winning, and they start adding all these new modern contemporary programs. Well, they're just not culturally accepted anymore. That's not how you do it anymore. This is the 21st century. Let me give you a new statement for that. It's called dispensationalism. Number three, and I got 6 minutes. Love by truth or commandment equals boldness. Love by truth or commandment equals boldness. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 4. Man, I love this. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 16. Oh, my soul, I'm going to read fast. And we have known and believed that the love God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have, what?
Boldness.
Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we also in this, or so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Notice the word commandment and love all through that passage. Now watch this. Love by emotion or feelings brings fear. Look at verse number 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect or complete in love. can I tell you something? Loving by commandment, loving by truth, eliminates external stimulus. Come here, Brother Stoltz. I love Brother Stoltz. Do I think Brother Stoltz is always right? No, just look at that face. Good night. There's no way that thing's right all the time. But you know what? I still love him. It doesn't matter the external stimulus. Doesn't matter if he's right all the time or not. I still love Brother Stoltz. Perfect love does not change as people change. I didn't tell you to sit down. I knew Brother Stoltz 30 years ago. He had more hair. It was a different color. He was no better looking. Now, wait a minute. He's changed over the last 30 years. So have I. There's more of both of us. Our lives of 30 years ago, he wasn't married. Neither was I. Neither one of us had children. Now, we've been married. All our kids are grown and gone. Man, we've had a lot of change. You even got grandkids. You're a grandpa. Bless God. Paul. Amen. Or Paul. Now, wait a minute. A lot of things have changed. But you know what? Just because those things have changed doesn't mean my love for Brother Stoltz has changed. When you base love on something other than truth, as people change, your love changes. If you base your love on emotion, it changes as feelings change. Do you know sometimes I could hurt Brother Stoltz's feelings? But guess what? Love looks beyond that, and he would say, "Preacher didn't mean to hurt me. He didn't know he hurt me." And probably Brother Stoltz is the kind of man that would say, "Guess I need to fix something if it hurt me." Wait a minute. I've had people that hurt me that I still love. I have people that hurt me a lot that I still love. Love by emotion or feeling changes as desires change. Brother Stoltz, there's days you and I don't feel like going outside and going soul winning. It's cold. The bones hurt. It's wet. Guess what? We're going anyway. Say, why do you do that? Because if he doesn't go, I might not go. And if I'm not, and if I go, he might not go, so he decides he's going to go with me. Say, what is that? As people change, you can get hurt. Have a seat there. As we get older, it's easier to not want to love people because you've been hurt by them so much. It really is. You know, it's easier not to love than to love and get hurt. It's a whole lot easier. Not as fun, but a whole lot easier. When you love by truth or by commandment, you're bold and you don't worry about being hurt. That's what this boldness is talking about. Do you know, I never fear going to church. I'm never afraid to come to church, no matter how good or how bad I've been. I'm never afraid of it. I'm sorry, you're gonna go to your grave hearing me say this. I don't understand why people tell me the hardest thing to do after they have a loved one pass away is go to church. That is so foreign to my thinking. To me, that is the first place I would want to go. Amen. Not the last place I would want to go. I don't understand. I've heard that for, 28 years I've heard that or more. Well, that's just the hardest place to go. Why would it be hard? Be around the people that love you most. Be around the God that loves you most. Around the fellowship of, whoa, God's love. Almost baptized Methodist style there. Perfect love, obeying by command, means this. I'm not afraid to go to church, no matter how I feel. You don't fear seeking counsel. Do you know, I never fear seeking counsel. Say, well, you don't seek counsel. I seek more counsel than you think I do. I don't seek it from you, but I seek, well, some of you do. If it's an electrical problem, I'm going to ask one of you guys that knows electricity. If it's something else, my dad knows how to fix everything, so I'll ask him if it's broke, amen? I am the world's greatest mechanic. 1-800-MEL-BUSH, amen? All right. Now, you know, you don't fear seeking counsel. You say, why do you fear seeking counsel? Because you're afraid you're going to get told something you don't want to hear. You don't fear soul winning. Now, I didn't say you're not afraid to talk to people. But, you know, I'm never afraid to go soul winning. Now, I'm afraid of people, Brother June. You know, they're not home. But when that floor starts creaking and that door starts jiggling, and when that lady answered that door today, Brother Stoltz, something switched inside of me. Dink! And it's like, I don't know where that came from, but I was ready to talk to her. I was ready to give her the gospel. I was ready to come unscrewed with the gospel gun, amen? Can I tell you something? Say, what is that perfect love? I didn't want that person to die and go to hell. And because I didn't want them to die and go to hell, I loved them enough to give them the truth whether they wanted to hear it or not. It's that simple. You don't fear obeying the Bible when you obey out of love. I got so much. Boldness comes by obedience to the rules. Okay. Everybody look at me. I love you. I'm going to use an illustration that nobody in here is going to want to hear. If you obey the speed limit, you're bold enough not to worry about the police officers. The only time you're worried is when you're breaking the law. If your first reaction when you see an officer is to hit the brake, you're not constantly obeying the speed limit. Ouch. Everybody doing all right? I have boldness. Brother Stoltz will tell you. He's ridden with me. A lot of you have ridden with me. I obey the speed limit. Now, I might get to it real quick, but I'm not going to go over it. And I never worry. If I drive, my wife and I drove somewhere recently. We went to Kentucky a few weeks ago. I don't know how many police officers I passed that didn't touch speedometer or gas pedal one time or the brake. Set that thing on cruise control, and I just keep driving. Say, don't you worry. Why should I worry? If I'm not breaking the law, why should I worry? One time I was doing that, and I got pulled over. Say, why? Guy says, I'm going to give you a written warning. It's starting to rain. I'm trying to slow traffic down. You didn't do anything wrong. You're keeping the speed limit, but I'm just trying to slow traffic. I got a stupid written warning for obeying the speed limit. Oh, well. Welcome to Indiana. You have the boldness to love and not worry about the risk or hurt others put on you because they don't love you back properly. Do you know, I don't worry about whether Brother Stoltz loves me back or not. I have the boldness to love him whether he does or not. You know, I don't worry about whether Neil loves me back or not. I have the boldness to love him whether he loves me back or not. There's a boldness that comes with that. There's a strength that comes with that. I've met some enemies of mine recently. Say, what'd you do? Walked up and said, how you doing? Good to see you. Everybody doing all right? I have some that run and hide. Have some that leave their grocery carts in the store and walk out. Okay, that's their problem. I didn't run and hide. They did. I got over it a long time ago. I have no care how they treat me, but I can love them. Everybody doing all right? If man would have obeyed God in Eden and not obeyed the devil, man would not have added so many more rules to his life. Young people, listen to me. The more you obey, the less rules you'll have. That simple. Adults, the more we obey, the less rules we have. It's that simple. You see, let's take God at his word and follow it from the beginning or the original intent. God says that love equals rules or commands. That's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Little different approach. Sometimes we don't think that rules and commandments and love go together, but God says they do.